So, Dylan, you've launched your campaign and you've said that you're running for election in the constituency of Dublin South East. Why?
I feel I have to do this. I've to put so many things on hold in order to do this. I've to stop a lot of the projects that are ongoing in my life. But ideally you would say, oh, we'll finish them and do this later if you want to do this. But this is never something that I planned on doing. I've always been extremely political from the projects that I've done for the past 8 years, really, from the age of 15, and in this constituency also.
Okay.
I started working with Project Art Centre in 2004. Organising events with them, and they've supported a lot of the work that I've done. When I made a film in 2008 about do-it-yourself counterculture, which is very much an idea about empowerment, and that's something that's stayed with me through to this day. You know, a lot of the ideas that I think about now are still to do with empowerment. It's just on a bigger scale. So I think the reason for running is because I know that the type of projects that I've worked on and the way I've worked on things, I get things done. When I set my mind to something, I usually find a way to make it happen. And I'm quite stubborn, which is probably my worst and best trait, in that I don't really take no for an answer. I'll always find a way to make something happen. And I think that's what's needed at the moment. And also I feel like this is a crucial time in the Irish state. It's a real testing point. We're 90, just over 90 years after the first Dáil in 1919. And this is the test that we've got to come through this the other side. It was really young people that were in that Dáil in the first one. They were average age was about 30. And I think that we need a good balance. We need young minds and we need old minds together, but we can't just have too much of one. And I think it needs an injection of new life into the current political system.
Have you any experience of representing people in any way in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I was elected to the board of Project Art Centre from the membership of Project.
Okay.
Having been asked to join the membership, going back to school days, I was on student councils and then in university as a class rep in previous lifetimes as well.
Okay.
So yeah, and also I don't think sometimes it's about. It's not even about getting elected and lots of things I've done, but I definitely think I've facilitated people to do projects. When I set up Exchange Dublin in Temple Bar, it's an art social space, an art centre that's collectively run. So I've no say over that, but I facilitated a space where people can make things happen, and that's what I want to do with this as well.
Okay. So you have an interest in arts and arts policy that... No, I mean, what I'm trying to sort of see where people come, some people come to national politics with experience, okay, in some area of life, and that experience is transferable. So where are you saying that you've got facilitation and collective working and project experience, but is there a particular area of policy that you think that, you know, you have expertise in?
I mean, I think what I can bring to it is a creative thinking. If you look at my policy, it gives my analysis on what the current situation is in various areas under political reform, equality, the city, and the economy, obviously. And then it gives initiatives, which are solid actions that I can do immediately once elected. Some of them are more doable than others. Some of them require more of a gathering of several people that will be elected. So I think I can bring that creative thinking, which is really needed in politics at the moment. But in terms of areas that I'm interested in, I mean, when we talk about the city, I'm hugely interested in really minute detail of what actually stops things from happening in the city. What stops, you know, there's a lot of talk of Dublin needs to be a creative city and we need to encourage innovation.
So why aren't you running for Dublin City Council then?
Because I think that the problems that at the city level are national problems, and it's problems within administration, in our public service and in our political institutions. It's a lack of poor internal communication, poor focus really as well, and people don't know what the goals are. And that's not in any way to demean people working in the public service. There's really great people working in there as well. But we need to focus that on what is the end goal of these things, and that should be the citizen. And that seems to be something that's maybe forgotten. So it's about how do we use the resources that we have effectively. So to give an example of that was when I set up Exchange, a few months afterwards we got a letter from Dublin City Council Arts Department saying you've been approved in recognition of your valuable contribution to the arts in Dublin City. Here's a grant. In the same month, we got a letter from the planning department of Dublin City Council saying you're operating a non-commercial venue in a retail space. Cease what you're doing immediately. And this was, we were in a shop, in a unit that had been a retail space and had closed down in Temple Bar, the cultural quarter. And we were being told this mixed message. So I was faced with the, well, what do we do then? Do we take the €2,000 we've just been given, pay a planning consultant the €2,000, wait 9 months? At best, we get a change of use application approved. And then we're €2,000 poor, the taxpayer's €2,000 poor, and the planning consultant's €2,000 richer. And that just doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. And it's not, and I don't think that's an isolated case, because in the run up to announcing my campaign, I've spoken to people that have a lot more experience in depth, that people that are experts in these areas. But I think a politician needs to have a much more of a, it's a level head. You need to be able to take in bits of everything, and be able to, it's about judgment skills and what type of calls you make. And what I'm asking people to do is to trust me to be in the position to listen to the right people. Because if you're an expert at one thing, you're not an expert at something else.
Right. What do you know about Dublin South East as a constituency?
Well, this is where I've done all my work really since 2004,
okay,
being around Temple Bar.
Do you live in Dublin South
East? I do, yeah. I live on Dallier Street.
Okay, all right. But are you originally from Dublin South East before then?
No, I was from, I'm from Dean's Grange originally.
Okay, all right. Not that I'm saying that it's important, but it's just in terms of what your knowledge is. Are you going canvassing?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm going canvassing half an hour after this interview, which will be my first canvass.
Okay.
And then I'm holding a rally on Thursday, which is to get much more people involved in that.
Okay.
But it's not, I mean, the city is something, the city, I'm fundamentally not running on local issues, because I think that that's one of the problems with Irish politics. It's the clientelism of it. But that said, the city isn't a local issue, because 1.7 million people live in the Greater Dublin area, and that's a huge section of proportion of the population. So the city is a national issue, especially considering it's a gateway for tourism, for investors that come here. They say, what type of city do I want to locate my company in? And people want to be in an environment where they're getting ideas, because there's other creative projects happening. And creative projects doesn't just mean the arts. It's, you know, businesses, innovation is creativity. So I'm not saying we need to, you know, we need more innovation. I'm trying to present ideas that are innovative and say, how can we support the people that have these brilliant ideas, are trying to do them, and they can't do it because they can't get space, they can't afford rent, they get a space and they can't afford the rates, and there's no leeway to get any exemptions on that. It's really practical things, and it's about how do we make that happen easier.
You know, there's a political spectrum from left to right. Do you find it useful to put yourself anywhere on that spectrum, to describe where you are on social, moral, economic issues?
I don't. It's difficult to say where would you put yourself on that scale, when that scale isn't immediately apparent in Irish politics as it is anyway, because Irish politics has been defined by civil war politics, really. Labour never really came into it since they were, since they kind of took a step back at the beginning, you know, at the beginning of the state. The Labour must wait, you know. And I think that left-right alignment has never really been a defining factor in Irish politics. I see that there is, you know, there are United Left Alliance candidates running, and there will be, I suppose it depends where you position the main parties. Do you call them centre-right? Do you call them centre? I would see myself as being liberal in terms of what my morals are. If you look at the background of the types of projects that I've done, most of them have been non-profit, and I've never made any money from them. So that should be some sort of guideline to the types of things that I think are important.
I suppose a very clear thing that's coming up in some of the candidacies and pitches and platforms that are coming about from independents, those that have actually declared, in where you have people before profit, generally, and I don't mean the party, I just mean the people who are concentrating on people issues. And then you have what Miriam Lord has called profit before people, which is the business sector that are just deciding they're going to put their experts inside the doll to run. And I think it probably is important that people know where you are on economic issues and in some other, you know, issues as well, and that, or do you see yourself as a generalist deciding to vote with whatever side you agree with on the day and the dole?
I think it has to. We have to bring debate back into Irish parliamentary life. I'm not going to say, you know, this idea doesn't make sense, but because I consider myself left wing, I'm going to vote this way. You know, that's one of the problems again. The idea that the whip decides what people are doing. I want to make decisions based on what makes the most sense in the present. It has to be pragmatic, because when it comes to economic issues, a lot of those decisions have been made. So some of them we can revisit, some of them we can say that was a poor decision. But we do have to go from where we've been left. You know, the 30th Dáil has just finished today, and that has left the country in a pretty poor state. So we've got to say, well, what do we have? What are decisions that have been made, and how can we move from here? Because there's no use crying over what's been done wrong. That's not going to get us anywhere. We have to say that was really bad, and we acknowledge that it was bad, and yes, we say who's responsible. But we have to move forward.
So what would you change to make Parliament and the system more accountable?
I think transparency is the key to everything, and that goes through financial institutions, and it goes through political institutions as well. Things like if the Crow Park agreement, if the public knew what was actually happening behind those closed doors, maybe there will be less animosity between private sector and public sector, because it will be in the open. Maybe somewhere like the Shannon is a better place for that debate to take place. If the IMF EU bailout negotiations, if we had been told that they were happening and that our debt, we said yes, you know, we're screwed here, put this up, this is our debt. Like anyone does, if you go bankrupt, you say, okay, put hands up, and you put it out on the table. If we knew that what decisions were being made, maybe then we could get behind the government that's making those decisions, because we could say, okay, I realised that you had this A, B, and C, and they were all tough calls, but you took pragmatically the best decision. But we don't know what the A and the B were, so we're immediately suspicious. So, and I'm not just saying that as rhetoric either, because how I'm running my campaign is how I would run my office. Because I mean, at the end of each week, I'm publishing my income and my expenditure on my website. You can see how much money I've got coming in from donations and how much money I'm spending. And what I'm spending money on is all on posters, because everybody that is working in this campaign, nobody is being paid. Mm-hmm. Everyone is working on it because they believe in it. And I think for that reason, we have a much more exciting campaign.
So the thing that is generally said of independence is that you are one voice in a very big ocean. You know, so how do we know? I mean, are you hoping to be the Jackie Healy Ray of Dublin South East in terms of getting a deal done to get certain issues funded or agreed to or passed? Or do you really think that an independent on the back benches of Parliament, which will take 5 years to reform, you're not going to be able to go in and change the way it runs?
No, and I have no misconceptions about what lies ahead.
Yeah.
I know that it's not even going to be this election that, you know, I'm not going to go in and wave a wand and suddenly everything will be fixed after 4 years. It's probably going to take two elections, but we need to begin that process now. Mm. It has to start at some stage. And there's two ways that you look at what your role is as a TD. There's what you do through the Dáil and through legislation and what you support and what you vote for, but there's also what you do on the ground. So in terms of what I would do in the Dáil, I think there's going to be a lot of independents elected around the country. A lot of us will have similar lines on political reform, and all it takes is seven of us to get a technical group and we get speaking rights in the Dáil. But there's what I can do on the ground, and one of the things that I've proposed in my political reform policy is to start a monthly constituency forum, and I can do that as soon as I'm elected. I don't need to get, you know, that path through anywhere, and this is kind of an adapted form of it's taking the idea of the clinic and saying, well, how can I actually engage with the community rather than individuals, really. So I would do this monthly constituency forum. I would invite the other TDs in the constituency, and I would invite the councillors in the constituency. And that will be once a month. People from the community come in, they debate the issues of the community, and they also feedback on national issues and how you're representing them. So if somebody says to me, you know, Dylan, my drains are broken, they're not working, and you know, what are you going to do about it? I can say, well, councillor such and such, can you deal with this? This is one of your constituents. Can you tell them what their rights are, what they're entitled to, and what services they should already have? Because they shouldn't have to come to me about that.
Dublin South East is a very varied constituency in terms of both the transient nature of people who live in apartments and in the Docklands area. Then there are areas of high poverty in the constituency that are overlooked, you know. And then you have the Donnybrooks and the Leeson Streets and the Pembrokes and all those areas. Mm-hmm. It's a very mixed area. How do you think you can, somebody who is obviously well educated and has had good opportunities to do things that you are interested in, mm-hmm. how do you reach out to people who are never represented in the Dáil, or very rarely represented in the Dáil, their experiences of life?
No, we have to. It's absolutely crucial. You know, and there's the 20% of people at risk of poverty in Dublin, and you hear, you know, business owners complain about people running in and just, you know, robbing stuff from their shop and just running out and saying there's nothing we can do about it. We need way more police in Dublin. But, you know, I say, well, what is that person's story that's ran in and done that? Why has it come to that? And I don't think that crime is the big issue there. I think there's one issue, and that's society. And I think especially at a time like this, we need to look after the most vulnerable in our society. And when we say that we've got, you know, we've to take a drop in our standard of living, we might have less money and things might be difficult, and they're more difficult for some people than they are for other people as well. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that we have to drop our quality of life, because some of the best communities and are communities that where there isn't a lot of money and there isn't a lot of resources. So when we look at what the values that are important to people are, those are the things that have to be, that's what we make our decisions based on. It has to be caring, and that's in our constitution. It's about charity is in our constitution. And we definitely need to look after everybody. And it comes to education is a really fundamental thing. I'm against the idea of third level fees, and at the rate they're at, which is €2,000, I think that should be, it's a 942% increase from when they were abolished. So they've been kind of brought in by the back door, and I think education is fundamental to a functioning democratic society. So there should be no barriers to it whatsoever.
If you're elected, how long would you stay?
I'll stay the full term of the government, and however long that will be, who knows? You know, it's really.
And I'm asking you that because the Taoiseach today left the Dáil 26 years after he was elected to it, and he went in the same age. How old are you?
23.
He went in slightly older than you, and has known nothing else but Dáil Éireann.
But the Taoiseach probably didn't know much else other than Dáil Éireann before he went in also, because himself and Enna Kenny both were from political families. They had a legacy of being involved in Dáil Éireann. I don't have any political people in my family. And that's not a background that I come from. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing this because it's something that I feel needs to be done now. I didn't ever want to be a politician. People have said it to me throughout my life from quite a young age, oh, you'll become a politician. And I always said no, because I always thought it was an ineffective way to actually get things done. I thought you do it on the ground is how you make things happen. But now I think it comes to a kind of a tipping point where you have to say, I'm not willing, it's not enough to leave, to stand by and say, okay, I'm going to do my own thing anymore. These people are representing us and they are running our country, and that is having an impact on all of our lives. So I can't shun that responsibility anymore, and that's why I think that I need to stand now. And how long I will do it for, I'll do it for as long as I need to. I don't think it's not even about me, you know. I want to do something to prove that I can't, to show, set a model for how it can be done. I think other young people should run in the next election, and that's why I'm showing how much a campaign costs, you know.
Yeah, and you know that only 16.4% of candidates are women.
Yeah.
So far in the election. So it's, you know, there are democratic deficits all over the shop after years, 2 or 3 years of us talking about reform, and we're looking at the candidates that we have. So it's one of the reasons you're running, I suppose, is for more inclusion of young people's voices.
Absolutely. And I think and you could see that in the selection of candidates by parties in areas when it was all male candidates selected, when there was, you know, female candidates running as well. Some of the best people involved in my team are women. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely I think there should be a much greater balance. How you encourage that, maybe, I mean, it doesn't help when there's a kind of a, I think a lot of the discourse that you see and how female politicians are talked about, it can be very much based on their appearance. But that said, that goes for male politicians too. You know, Brian Cowan has had a hard enough time with that as well. But
yes. He has. Right, we're coming up to the end of this, so I just want to say thanks very much for the interview. Okay.
No problem, thank you. Okay.